Has anybody seen Christmas carolers this year? Did anybody go through neighborhoods or anything? Remember the old days? We used to. That was kind of cool. Okay, turn to the book of Luke. And if it's always hard to have a Christmas sermon because I think you've probably heard this story several times, right? But what I want to, the title, if I titled something, would be called 8 Days Later. Because we're not going to look at the story of his birth. We're going to look at what happened after that. And Luke, in his book, really begins and ends the Christmas story in the temple. Look at verse, and it's what's interesting about the, am I doing something? It's interesting about the temple, and what we're going to look at is the very temple that Luke focuses in on in this story is what Jesus is about to replace. So as Luke weaves this story together, in the beginning he talks about Zacharias and Elizabeth, and he weaves this story of John the Baptist and Jesus together, and he weaves it all around, not all around, but he starts with the temple. Look at verses 8 and 9. Now it came about when he was performing his priestly service, this is Zacharias, his priestly service before God, an appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot, they cast lots to see who would do this, to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. So Luke starts this story with Zacharias going into the temple, and where he was visited by an angel, and the angel said he was going to have a kid, and if you picture that in your mind, him coming out and he couldn't speak and he could trying to explain what was told to him. But Luke begins this story in the temple. Now turn to Luke chapter 2 verses, I'm going to read 21 through 38. And there's really three parts in here, three kind of characters of this little section from verse 21 to 38. It first talks about Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. Then it talks about Simeon. And then it talks about Anna or Hannah, this Hannah is how you would say it in Hebrew, and that means grace. So there's these three characters and three events that happen after the birth of Jesus. So look at verse, I'm going to begin in verse 21. I'm going to read all the way to 38. And when 8 days, because you got to think about it, it's kind of interesting. This is it's not often included in Christmas story. I mean, most Christmas stories have the shepherds and the wise men. And if you know this, the wise men came later. It wasn't until he was really a baby, a little older child, when the wise men come. But this is 8 days after his birth. Okay. When the 8 days were completed, before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, and the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days for their purification, according to the law of Moses, was completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, he then took him into his arms and blessed him and said, "Now, Lord, you have let your bondservant depart. You can let your bondservant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light of the revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at these things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to the opposed, to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your soul, to the end that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel in the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then as a widow to the age of 84, and she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. So there's this interesting, there's really some interesting things that go on in this whole event after his birth. When we were going through James, the temple for the Jew was the place. This is one of the commentaries I was reading. The Jews, they believed in heaven and earth, but there was this meeting place where those came together. They really didn't want to separate them too much, and that place was the temple. That was where they related to God. That was where God dwelt among the people of Israel. When their entire political life, religious life, social life revolved around the temple. And so after he was born, it says, the first thing is about, the first part is Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And it's verses 21 through 24. After 8 days, every time I think about this, I think about when Todd and Jocelyn were here and I went to Lincoln's circumcision. They actually went to this Jewish guy somewhere up in, I forget where it was, Highland Park, that travels around and all he does is circumcisions. And he's really good at it, and it's like something you don't want to ever see. But it was a major ritual. I mean, and he had special powder from Israel that was supposed to help him heal and all. So you're in this Jewish house, and this rabbi for the Jews, this was like the thing. And several things were connected to circumcision. When was circumcision instituted? Do you remember? Abraham. And it was, there's three things that happen in this section. First, the covenant of circumcision. The covenant of circumcision is saying it was through Abraham that the world would be blessed. It was through his seed. So that when a male child was born 8 days, and there's a whole medical thing why it's 8 days. Their blood is starting to coagulate, and there's this whole reason why they do it in 8 days. But it was at that time that this, and it's interesting that Jesus would really need to be circumcised. But they were following the law, the very law that Jesus was about in 33 years to make obsolete. It's really kind of, when you think about what, wow, something's going on, huh? Anyway, so there's this whole, Mary and Joseph, after 8 days, they finally, and he gets named at this time. He gets named the name that Gabriel told them to use. His name would be called Jesus. So there's this entering into this, the circumcision, where he becomes part of the covenant that says all of the world will be blessed through the seed of Abraham. So there's, you know, behind the scenes, when you think about this being the Messiah, behind the scenes, God is like, this is the one. Now, I want to get to this kind of interesting verse. The other thing that happens during circumcision is that's when you do get your name. I don't know if they did that when Lincoln was. How many of you waited to give a kid a name? Usually, you have the name like in the United States. Everybody has it before they're even born. You know, you have the list. So I don't know. But in Israel, you didn't get a name until you were circumcised. So there's this, and he's now part of the covenant that the whole world would be blessed through the seed of Abraham. And then he's given the name Savior, Jesus. They're not at the temple yet. And then it says, and when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses was completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. This is Mary and Jesus. And it says, and when the days for their what? Purification. According to the law of Moses was completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Turn to Leviticus chapter 12. This is really kind of, I find it interesting. I don't know. I mean, if you really want to feel like Numbers. Leviticus chapter 12. This is where it talks about the purification. If you really want, if you get worried, or not worried, that's not the right word, concerned about our Christian life and how hard it might be, read the book of Leviticus and see how easy we have it. Because this was, I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, speak to the sons of Israel. And I tried to look up a while. It would take too long to kind of explain all of the ideas of why this had to take place. To speak to the sons of Israel, when a woman gives birth and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean for 7 days. And in the days of her menstruation, she shall be unclean. And on the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. That's what their Joseph and Mary are doing in those 8 days. And she's considered unclean. You know, I mean, it's not like the Mary and Joseph in most manger scenes. She is, before God, she is considered unclean, which is, wow. Yeah, I mean, this is Mary, you know. And then she shall remain in the blood of her purification for 33 days. She shall not touch any consecrated thing, nor enter the sanctuary until the days of her purification are completed. But if she bears a female, bears a female child, she shall be unclean for 2 weeks. And in her menstruation, she shall remain in the blood of her purification for 66 days. For some reason, who knows why. But there was obviously a difference for the people of Israel between a male child and a female child. And Mary was considered unclean, which is it, verse 6. And when the days of her purification are completed, when you've waited these 33 days for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring to the priest at the door of the tent of meeting a 1-year lamb for a burnt offering and a young turtle, a pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering. Then he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the flow of her blood. And this is the law for her who bears a child, whether male or female. But if she cannot afford a lamb, she shall take 2 turtle doves and 2 young pigeons, one for a burnt offering and one for a sin offering. So there's this young couple, and the Messiah has to fulfill the law that is ingrained in their head, that for 33 days they're going to wait and they're going to walk from Bethlehem to Jerusalem to go up now and dedicate not just Jesus to the Lord, but so that Mary can be clean. There's this sacrifice. And when I read this and I'm thinking, the purification of Mary, who listened to Gabriel, who did everything, who by faith, and Joseph by faith listened to the angel and said, Mary's going to bear a child. And now, at the end of it, they're going up to Jerusalem for a purification. And I'm like, and when people, when you think through Mary and Joseph and these events and what's about to happen when they see Simeon at the in the temple, they're following the law, going to the temple, that their son in 33 years will make totally obsolete. No other woman will ever have to go through purification again. Nobody else will ever have to go to the temple again to have their sins forgiven. And I know people say this a lot, and you know, Jesus is the reason for the season, right? Isn't he way more than that? Isn't he the reason for hope and for forgiveness and for life and for eternity and for tomorrow? It's when we take this day and just make it this one day of the year. I mean, I know it's nice, and I love Christmas, and I. But as I was studying this morning, I was the police going by reminded me of this. I hear these trucks out in front of my house, and right down the street there's an ambulance at somebody's house 2 days before Christmas. And you're like, Christmas ain't always that much fun for some people. But anyway, the here goes Mary and Joseph. They're going up. She understands, partly, I think, who this is. And she says, I have to go up to the temple according to the law of Moses. And they brought Jesus up there to present him to the Lord, as it is written. Then it says, the firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. There's this whole thing that Mary has to go up there for purification, and they're dedicating the Son of God back to him. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord. And then it says, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons, which means they didn't have enough money for a lamb. That's why people say they were poor, because they didn't have enough money. So they bring one for a burnt offering. The turtle doves are for a burnt offering, the pigeons are for a sin offering, and I think they killed the one pigeon, they dipped the wings in the blood and let the other pigeon fly away. Which is a symbol of your sin flying away, separating. So there's this, just picture Mary and Joseph going up to the temple that is about to be made obsolete. And they're dedicating their son. And they bring these two sacrifices. After all they had known, after they had been to, you know, what you would think, well, maybe this is just my thinking, well, Gabriel came down. We don't really have to follow this anymore. We know who this is. We know that he's going to be the Messiah. We've been told who he's going to be. Think of what Elizabeth and Zacharias knew about him. And yet they still go up to the temple. And when they're there, verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Most people think he was probably an old man by this time. And all he did was sit and wait and looked for the Messiah. Now, it doesn't say, most people think that he was probably looking for an adult. You know, the Messiah was going to be the king, and he was going to take over and overthrow the Roman Empire and make Israel, the nation of Israel, the ruler of the world. Or of the earth. And it says he sat there and looked and waited and waited and waiting for the consolation of Israel. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he'd see the Lord's Christ. He somehow, some angel came to him, or the Holy Spirit came to him and said, you won't die until you see this. Okay? So here's Mary and Joseph, month-old baby, walking into the temple. The temple, again, is the center of life for the nation of Israel. There's probably other couples there, other women there, coming for purification, and they're lining up with their sacrifices. And here's Mary and Joseph, just another couple. And somehow Simeon knows what's going on, and he came in the spirit, into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, he then took him into his arms and blessed God and said. So there's, I don't know if there was a row of couples standing there waiting for this purification, and Simeon notices Mary and Joseph and Jesus, and he says, Now, this my sister said, this reminds me of something my sister said. When she had her first grandkid, her son was holding the baby, and my sister said, "Can I hold him?" She said, my nephew said, "Well, you better sit down, and I'll hand him to you." And she was like, "Keith, I've handled babies before." I mean, when you think of handing over, the first time you hand your baby over to even the grandma, apparently, and Mary and Joseph somehow recognized that this guy was okay. Would you be handing your baby over to this stranger? And the scene of this, just in my head, is like, no, were people watching this? Were people seeing? I really believe the temple was probably filled with people. It was a center of activity. Did anybody even notice this? So he takes this baby, and when he in verse 28, when he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, there's several songs. There was the song of Elizabeth, song of Mary. This they think was almost like a song that Simeon sang. Now the Lord has let his servant, he let his servant depart. Gary Enrich said, this is almost like a military term. You can let, I'm kind of now off duty. I don't have to sit in the temple anymore to wait for this. I can now, some people think it's like saying, I can now die. I can now die. I'm off duty. I've waited and waited and waited and looked for this Messiah, and he's finally here. And in peace, according to your word, verse 30, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light to the revelation of Gentiles and the glory of all your people Israel. There's this, now God has provided salvation from the sin for all people. This is, you know, the language in this is so different than most Jews would have even thought of, that the Messiah was for Israel. And now Simeon looks at him and says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the presence of all people. It's not just for the Jews. And he goes on to say, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and to the glory of your people. There's this idea that it's finally done. He's here. What Simeon knew about what would take place in 33 years, we're not told. All we know is that as this young couple comes into the temple, Simeon says, wow, it's finally here. The Messiah is here. I can die. My duty is over. I've waited and looked, and now it is here. And then look at verse 33. And his father and mother were amazed at these things which were being said about him. Isn't that a little bit of a head-scratcher? I mean, Joseph saw an angel. Mary saw an angel. They talked to Zacharias and Elizabeth. There was this miraculous birth. The shepherds came and saw the baby in the manger. Wise men haven't been there yet. But you would think they would finally like be catching on. And it says, and his father, when I picture Joseph and Mary and handing Jesus over to this stranger, and he said, our salvation has come. This is the one to Gentiles, to all peoples, to the nation of Israel, to his people Israel. And they were amazed. Are they thinking, is this bigger than we thought? What was the deal with Gabriel? Like, maybe Gabriel was right. I mean, I'm amazed that they were amazed. There's this upside that Simeon says, salvation has finally come. I'm done waiting. I'm done looking. And he's going to be a light to the Gentiles and the glory to the people of Israel. And the Mary and Joseph are amazed. So there's this upside. And then Simeon looks at them and says, and Simeon blessed them and then looked at Mary, his mother. Behold, there was an upside about what Simeon was saying. And then he says, there's this downside. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and a sign to be opposed. You know, when you have kids and you think, wow, you have all these great ideas of what, and they just heard this great story, he's going to be this Messiah and to the Gentiles and to Israel. And then Simeon says, but Mary, he's going to be the rise and fall of many in Israel. And he's going to be opposed. This very temple that he's being dedicated in is going to be the place where his trouble starts. And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. He's going to divide. And there was this upside that they were amazed at, and then Mary hears the bad news. There's going to be a sword that's going to pierce your very heart. What were they thinking at this time? You know, heaven. It's part of the story that's almost never talked about in, you know, the little Christmas pageants. You know, they never show Mary going up to the temple to be purified. They were amazed, even after Elizabeth, or even after the shepherds and the Gabriel, and now the bad news is, Mary, there's going to be some tough times coming. I listened to a tape with Gary Inrig, and he said, you know the song, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas? There is no such thing as a little Christmas. There is no such thing. This changed everything. And think of Mary looking back at this day. You know, I know the birth was important, but looking back and all of a sudden understanding what Simeon meant. You know, so when her heart and her soul was pierced, that her son would be more than just a reason for that season. There is no such thing as a merry little Christmas. And then, I don't know if Simeon walked away, but then there's this other lady. She's only mentioned here, never mentioned again. We're not told a whole lot about her. And there was this prophetess, Anna, daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years after their marriage. So they were married for 7 years, and then as a widow to the age of 84. Most people think you add 7 to 84. I don't know what that is. What is that? 91. Old. Most people think, and I don't know, again, you got to kind of picture that. I don't know if they're in the court of the Gentiles, and they're all walking around, and here's this 91-year-old lady. It says, she never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. So she was around there all the time. Simeon sitting there waiting for, doesn't say how many years, but he said that he was sitting there waiting for God to bring the Messiah, and then here's this lady that is just in the temple for 84 years, serving day and night with fastings and prayers. People had to know who she was. And at the very moment she came up, here's Mary and Joseph and Simeon, and she must have been watching this whole thing. She came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. So, I don't know if people thought, well, here's Anna again, this old lady thinking this is the Messiah, because she walked around telling, she continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Were the Pharisees and the Sadducees sitting there watching this? You know, 33 years from now, were they thinking, wow, remember that day? This is that child. This is the child that Anna was talking about and that Simeon talked about. There's this whole, I think Luke included this stuff in there to tell us it started in the temple. All of this stuff started in the temple, the center of the nation of Israel, how they related to their God, how they related to heaven and earth. And it started with Zacharias coming out of the temple. And then Luke ends this story where Mary and Joseph fulfill the law, come to the place, the temple, that their son was about to abolish, make obsolete. You and I don't have to go to that temple anymore. We never went to the temple after our kids were born for purification. I didn't even see my kids' circumcision. The law has been, Luke is saying, Mary and Joseph fulfilled the law that their own son made obsolete. The temple that they went to, that Simeon was in, that Anna was in, is now obsolete. We no longer, none of us, have to go to that temple ever, ever again. When Simeon says, he has brought, I have now seen salvation from my sin. To all people, not just to the Jews, but to all of us. I mean, so when you maybe go home and read this little section, read the whole story from chapter 1 all the way through the end of chapter 38. And it's interesting that this part is hardly ever in any of the, I've never seen it in a pageant, have you? Just thinking about bringing Mary up to the temple to purify her, I'm thinking Catholics would not like that too much. Anyway. I think he includes this to let us know it's all now different. There is no such thing as a merry little Christmas. This changed everything. His birth changed everything. Father, we, in this week, coming and Christmas Eve and however we all celebrate Christmas. Some of us will have family here. It'll be a good time of remembering or just traditions. There's other families that are going to be struggling. That family members will be missing. That maybe have gone on before, have already went to heaven and are with you. Father, as we approach this day, as we exchange presents and gifts and enjoy the company of our families, Father, help us not to forget how this day changed everything. That this day, you changed our relationship with you forever in the life of your son. We thank you for this time, and we thank you for, again, a country that we can do this openly and not be afraid. Thanks for loving us. Thanks for caring for us. Thanks for your son. It's in his name we pray. Amen.